goal is for all of us as adults as well. Memorizing scripture, hiding the word in our hearts. We're going to talk about that today and next week. The last piece of the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But right before that, so in verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet in the ancient world, this usually was a leather cap that would be, you know, studded with metal for extra strength. Often there would be some kind of plume on the top. A lot of times, you know, the Romans would have that red looking like a mohawk type of thing, at least in the movies. That's how they portray it. But that would identify the group they were with, their regiment, right? Salvation is pictured as this kind of helmet, protecting an essential part of the body. A soldier would be foolish to go into battle without a helmet covering their head. The helmet of salvation. What is salvation? It's a big word. Sometimes it's a basic word. It might be one of the ones that we know the best as Christians. It means we're saved, right? We can say that. It means, in just the English language, it means being saved from harm. In the Bible, it means a deliverance from sin and its consequences through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, leading to a restored relationship with God. The Bible also refers to a final salvation when we're saved from this earth and we're in heaven for eternity. So when we put on the helmet of salvation, we strap it on, where we not only are assured of freedom from our sins now through Jesus Christ as we live our earthly lives, but that salvation extends for eternity. There is no doubt that God's saving power is our only defense for our mind against the enemy. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just love you, Lord. I thank you for each of these pieces of armor and the promise that comes with it. Lord, that you equip us, you help us, Lord, as we're going through these spiritual warfare, these battles. Lord, you equip us, you help us. You're not just, you know, sitting in heaven watching us suffer through trying on our own strength. God, but you provide and you help us, Lord, and you build these things up into our lives, Lord, that we can fight and we can be victorious. So help us today. Let this word speak to our hearts and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. See, the location of the most intense and largest amounts of warfare is in our minds. Would you agree? The battlefield is in our thoughts. A commentary said, our deliverance from and victory over the evil spirits of darkness intricately involve the battleground of our thought life. Would you agree? Yeah, you guys are quiet today. Oh, speak up, speak up. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. This would be a good one to highlight, underline, however you want to do it. It'll be on the screen here. But it expounds on this, and it gives two ways that we win the battle. For 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So two ways. We demolish strongholds and we take every thought captive. We're going to talk about that for a few minutes. What are our weapons? What are the armor of God that we've been discussing? Truth, righteousness, the readiness of the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the Word of God. These pieces have divine power to demolish the strongholds in our life. Strongholds, when we think of that word, strongholds could be doctrines or religions that we were taught that have been ingrained in our minds as a child growing up. It could be doctrines of this world. We don't really think about that a lot of times, but the world believes stuff, okay? They don't have necessarily the words for it. We do. We call it materialism, secularism, okay? Those would be part of the mental strongholds that people set up against the knowledge of God. A stronghold can also be a personal attitude, insecurity, fear, worry, guilt. Those all can be a stronghold in our minds. Any of those things that you have been taught or told or built up in you by yourself, sometimes we do that, right? They can become strongholds when we allow them to grow. I think I need to say that one again. Any of those things that you have been taught or told or built up in you by yourself can become strongholds when we allow them to grow. Our enemy, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'd love if you would watch on YouTube if you haven't been here. I've heard from a few of you. This is an awesome sermon series. It's the Word of God, and we're preaching it, right? So learn it, grow in it. A couple have asked about the slides that we've had. I printed off some of the slides from last week about the shield of faith and what flaming arrows come at us. So I appreciate that. If you would like those slides, they're on the coffee bar out there. But these things, we know that our enemy, we looked at our enemy a few weeks ago, and the devil is trying to get a foothold into our life. It's like when you're chasing, I don't know, when your siblings are chasing around in the house and they want to go and slam the door shut and lock you out of the room, and you stick your foot, oh, and you stop the door from shutting, right? You got your foothold in there. Now they can't shut you out. You may not be all the way in, okay? They may be pushing on the door, stay out, stay out. And you got your foot in there. Okay, that's the picture that is painted earlier in the armor of God verses that our enemy is trying to do. And if we allow him in and let these strongholds grow, it is dangerous to our spiritual life. As a child in our developmental years, we believe just about anything. Those are foundational times. It's kind of like a blank slate, and whatever you're taught, you record. You keep that in your mind. You think that's true. That's why we prioritize as a church children's ministry, teaching the truths of God's word. I can remember as a young person scripture verses that I had to memorize in Royal Rangers for these awards, right? But I go back to that. I go back to those teachings. There's also times that I've learned in Bible college some of the stories that were twisted or taught a little bit wrong. Like, that's not the way I taught or I was taught, right? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but this is also how these strongholds can stick with us for so long. I've had conversations as a pastor, as a youth pastor, that when we just talking about anything about the Bible, anything about, you know, the Christian life, and a lot of times at some point in the conversation, I'll hear the phrase, "Well, I was raised this way. I was taught this. This is what I've always been told. Is that the truth?" Okay? Or, "I thought the Bible said this." Okay? Because as teachers, preachers, leaders in the church, sometimes we make statements and we think they're in the Bible because we've taught them enough times, right? Like, cleanliness is close to godliness. Have you heard that one? That's not in the Bible, okay? But my mom would make me clean my room, okay? Because cleanliness is next to godliness. Okay, we'll stop. This isn't a therapy session for myself, okay? But because we would think this way, because the person grew up under a certain parenting style, okay, whether intentionally or unintentionally, their parents would teach them a certain way, and it gets passed on to you, and you, whether you're intentionally or unintentionally, whether you know it or not, I caught myself, my son and wife are in kids' church. Last week, he wore shorts and a t-shirt to church. I was not allowed, we'll just say that, I was not allowed to wear shorts and a t-shirt to church, okay? That was what was passed on to me. Am I holier because I dressed up? No, okay? But those are the things that we get passed on and passed on to us. That's a lighthearted, that's a fun, oh, yeah, he wore shorts and a t-shirt. Oh, wow. So I just had a little conversation. You dress up nicer for school, so dress up a little bit nicer for church. And we kind of left it at that. I didn't pass on my trauma from 40 years ago, okay? But are you following me, okay? Our minds are kind of like a computer. And I put this analogy, and then I hear Conroy speak, and he's on the IT, he knows all. So I'm probably going to butcher this analogy pretty bad. But our mind is kind of like a computer. When you buy a computer, okay, you have to install the software on it. You have to download the programs that you want to use the computer for, right? And so what you download to it, what you install on it, is what it's going to run, okay? So however you were raised as a child, and we're still downloading, we're still inputting, whatever you're putting in to your life, okay, that's what you're going to think about. That's what you're going to think is true. That's how you're going to, you know, raise your children, whatever the parenting style would be. This isn't a parenting lesson at the moment. It's just part of the analogy. Like, we pass on what we were raised as, unless we don't like it and we make a statement, I'm going to raise my kids in church, in the Word of God. I'm going to teach them this. I'm going to help them. I'm going to raise them like this, okay? All right? Those evil strongholds can be demolished by the power of God's armor that he equips us with. Our minds can be renewed. Our computer can be factory reset. Okay? It can be wiped and all the bad software uninstalled. The second way we win the battle of our mind is by taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. When someone or something is taken captive or captured, what has happened? You see it a lot of in wartime, right? We capture the enemy. They're no longer in control, right? The person who has taken them captive are in control of them or that thing, okay? Someone else has taken control of them. The same principle is here. In our minds, our thoughts are running wild. Hey, we have good thoughts. We have bad thoughts. We have holy thoughts. We have sinful thoughts. All these going through our head every day. What am I going to eat for dinner? Is that a bad thought? Oh, that's a good thought. What am I going to do in this situation? So a lot of our thoughts are good, or I would say neutral. Men, we have a lot of neutral thoughts, okay? I was trying to think of a few funny ones, but we can sit there, we can just think of like nonsense, okay? And I don't know if women can do that. Some of the things that I bring up in talking to my wife, like, oh, how did you get there? I don't know, okay? But we have good thoughts and bad thoughts, neutral thoughts. But I want to focus on the sinful thoughts, the bad thoughts. These are damaging to our psyche. Thoughts will come into our minds that aren't true, but we'll think through those. We'll dwell on them. We'll think through all the scenarios of that. What could happen? We usually don't twist it in a positive way. Would you agree? We're usually thinking through the worst. If I do this, or because this happened, boom, 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 this chain reaction. Okay? You may have grown up thinking you were ugly, dumb, worthless. And those words spin in your mind and they're not true. But you give them time and you give them real estate in your mind. Am I speaking to anybody today? Maybe because you're quiet, you're understanding, you're following me, you're agreeing. We win the battle of our minds when we stop those thoughts the moment they come in. I think that's something that we could all probably say, yeah, but that's very difficult to do, right? And as your pastor, I would agree. I haven't mastered that. It's difficult to get into that habit, but the moment that an unhealthy thought pops in, say, nope, I ain't thinking about that. Think about something else. Jump to something else. Don't give that time. Don't give it real estate. Okay? Then fulfill the second part of that verse by making it obedient to Christ. Taking every thought captive, making it obedient to Christ is a hard concept to understand. But you take thoughts captive when you take control of them. Bring them to submission to you is another way to phrase that. And then you make them line up with what Jesus taught and lived. If the thought comes in your mind, you take control of it and say, did Jesus say this? Is this something Jesus taught? Is it in the Word of God? Does it line up with the Word of God, or is it contrary? Is it false? Okay? And we've talked a couple weeks ago about the lies of the enemy. It was actually probably the first week of this. Okay? Going back to our computer analogy. When a virus comes in computers, they have filters that they try to warn you, or they try to keep out what could damage this software, what could damage this computer, this program. Okay? God's Word is what all of our thoughts should filter through. Amen? Amen. Okay? When a thought comes into your mind, man, what does God say about this? Should I be worried about this? Should I question this? What's the truth in this? Search it out in Scripture. I want to wrap up with some basic tips for protecting your salvation by winning the battle of the mind. Number one, put a gatekeeper on your mind. Control what you can control, okay? Have you ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat, okay? Okay? Your mind thinks about what you put into it, okay? I'm picking on Ben, probably because he's not in the room today. But Ben, I'll pick on myself in a second. But Ben knows a lot of worthless things about superheroes, okay? All right? As do some of you probably. But he knows facts, and he knows theories. Why this person was created, or what's the backstory to this villain? Hey, why? Why does he know this? Because that's his interest. So he reads the comics. He watches the movies. He watches the YouTube people with all their conspiracies, right? Blah, 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 blah. Okay? That's what he puts into his mind. So that's what his mind thinks about. Okay? I too have a lot of useless knowledge when it comes to sports. Okay, my sister growing up would always make fun of my brother and I. We would be having these discussions about, you know, baseball or football and just useless trivia, okay? And we would watch the games. Then we would watch the highlights of those games. Then we would watch the people discussing the games, right? Arguing about what they did right or wrong. And I love that. Now my wife gets the pleasure of lecturing me and hating on me for doing the same thing. But that's what I enjoy doing. So you could ask me. We won't get into all of it. I won't spew any sports knowledge to you. But there's a lot of it up there. Why? Because I put it in there. Okay? I'm watching and I'm taking it in. I'm taking it in. Okay? Blah, 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 blah. I put that in my notes. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? Because that's what I have in my head. So how do we know all of this useless trivia, finishing, wrapping up that thought? Because we've allowed it into our minds. We've put it, we've watched it, so our eyes have soaked it in. We've listened to it. Our ears have taken it in, right? We've read it. So here's a simple but difficult solution. If you don't want to think about death or evil or dark things, don't watch them. Don't take them in. Don't watch those TV shows, those movies, okay? If you don't want to cuss or use the bad types of like topics of the language, not just the cussing, but if you don't want to have those conversations or have those thoughts, okay? If you don't want to listen to certain, or if you don't want to use certain topics, don't listen to that whatever. Music, podcast, there's so much media out there like that. Don't watch those. You're flipping through Facebook and reels come up. Like, you're not even choosing that sometimes, right? And it's popping up. Just let it go. Boom. Skip to the next one. Get it out. Okay? Again, I'm probably butchering this analogy, but it's like the computer. If you want to be a Mac with an Apple operating system, what are you going to install? Microsoft would be great. No, you wouldn't do that, okay? You are what you eat. If you put garbage in, don't be surprised when your thoughts are garbage. Last one, or second one, flood your mind with God's truth. In Christ, we are a new creation. The old man is gone. Our minds need to be renewed and transformed. This is accomplished by soaking in the Word of God. Read it. Listen to it. A lot of times we think the only way I can get the Word is if I read it, blah, 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 over and over, and read it and read it and read it. Your worship music, your Christian, contemporary, whatever, your rock music. Like, if it has a Christian message, they're probably going to be speaking on the Word of God. Like, put those truths into your mind. We have Right Now Media that a lot of you are part of through the church. Watch it. Find good preachers and teachers and shows that speak the Word of God. There's a lot of ways that you can just flood your mind with the Word. It's like a sponge, okay? When you squeeze out the gross stuff and then, you know, put it in clean, soapy water, it's going to absorb that and it's going to squeeze out the dirt, and pretty soon you're going to be squeezing out clean soap, right? You got to flood your mind. You got to saturate your mind with the good, what you want to be thinking about, okay? Worship team, would you come? And we'll wrap up today. If we are constantly filling our mind with the things of God, the things of the devil will be forced out. You will find it easier to demolish strongholds. You'll find it easier to take those thoughts captive. Okay? When you flood your mind with God's truth. One last verse, Philippians 4:8. Some of you might have this memorized if you were in the girls' ministry or missionettes back in the day, okay? It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Think on those things. Think about such things. Stand with me. We want you to put on the helmet of salvation. It will protect us against all the discouraging thoughts, all the thoughts of hopelessness, all the sinful thoughts, when we put on the helmet of salvation. We not only are assured of freedom from our sins now through Jesus Christ as we live our earthly lives, but that salvation extends for all eternity. Our salvation gives us hope not only in knowing that we are saved, but that we will be saved. It's the assurance that God will triumph. You will have the victory in your thoughts, in your mind, the battlefield, the war that's waging in your head. You'll have the victory when you demolish strongholds, when you take those thoughts captive, making them obedient to Christ. Heavenly Father God, I pray for us today. Holy Spirit, you know our thoughts. You know what we dwell on. God, I just pray right now for those times of sin that we allow sin, our mind, to dwell on the sinful things. We need to confess those today. We ask your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you for your transforming and renewing power, that our minds are made new. You restore us. Pray that you'd help us today, Lord. If we're questioning our salvation, Lord, I pray that right now you would give us that blessed assurance that the songwriter wrote about many years ago. That we are assured that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that give us a fresh start. That our salvation covers our mind and it wipes away all those evil thoughts, all those bad thoughts. Pray each and every day, God, that you would help us to think on the good, that we would have the strength and the boldness, the courage, that when those thoughts come into our head, Lord, that we could stop, we could take them captive. Lord, that you would help us to line them up with Christ. Lord, help us each day as we read your word, as we soak in your word through songs, through teachings, or through videos, all of these things, Lord, that we would saturate our life with you and your truth. That when these things come, when these thoughts come into our mind, Lord, we would know what to respond. Lord, and we would pray. Your Holy Spirit would help us. Give us strength, Lord. Hallelujah.